This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's time to talk that talk, and we talk it like no one else.
This is The Stinking Truth.
Now, here's your host, Mark Schlereth.
He joins us every Tuesday at 3 o'clock. He is an Odyssey NFL insider, and we're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Odyssey original podcast, The Stinkin' Truth podcast, covering the entire NFL. Stink now joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you. That was a tremendous read, by the way. You nailed it.
I would say tell your people, just let everybody know, I got one in me a show. The rest of them are going to suck, but you get at least one good read. How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm good, man. How are you guys?
We're doing all right here. We're in a precarious time. We're arguing about how important this draft is for the Browns. And yesterday we got into, I'm living in my fears a little bit with the Deshaun shoulder injury. And I had said I would not criticize the Browns if they drafted a quarterback with one of their two top 100 picks. What would your reaction be if the Browns took a quarterback with a top 100 pick this year?
I would take a quarterback every year. To me, I think you've always got to be in the quarterback development business. And so I just don't look at that as a wasted draft pick. If you get a guy that ends up even being a good backup, a guy that you can rely on, a guy that can run the offense, a guy that, you know, ultimately, if your starter goes down, your season's not over. You can manage the game well enough to at least be able to compete. So I think, I mean, you guys are proof that you got to have backups. Age of NFL football. There's so many injuries, and especially the quarterback position. How many different teams end up playing, you know, backups throughout the course of the regular season? So, he's in the quarterback development business. I don't think that business is in.
All right, we're going to pop you on hold real quick there. But real quick, suck it, Daryl. Suck it, Keith. What? I am vindicated by a Hall of Fame caliber player who agreed with my take yesterday.
No. We are about to have the rebuttal now.
Right. Well, you can get your rebuttal, but I want to point out there was some schmuck on Twitter who said, this is why I don't listen to Nick Wilson anymore, because I protect the Browns. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Mark, welcome back to the show, buddy.
Hey, man, I'm sorry. I didn't know what happened there, but I'm good here.
All right, no worries. Now, my partner today would like to rebut what I just said and what you just said, so be patient.
Okay, go.
I don't disagree with drafting a quarterback every year, but the Browns.
I think you disagreed yesterday.
No, hang on. They have Jameis Winston, who they signed this offseason. They brought in Tyler Huntley, DTR they drafted last year. Do they really have room this year to spend the 54th pick in the draft on a fifth quarterback on this roster, Mark?
Well, I mean, I don't know about the 54th. We talked about the top 100
picks.
We talked about the top 100 picks. I don't know about the 54th pick. But ultimately, is Deshaun Watson your long-term answer? And based on the way he's played since he's been back in the league and the injury issues, the answer would be, I don't know. I don't know that anybody knows. He certainly hasn't played the way he played in his first couple seasons in Houston. So I think there certainly has been a drop-off, to say the least. So it depends upon how you feel about him going forward, and is he really going to be the long-term solution, a long-term answer. And if you think there is somebody that's going to be that long-term solution or could potentially be that long-term solution, I would say, yeah, then I would think about it. But 54, you know, the issue with the NFL draft to me is there's usually about 15 to 18 legitimate first-rounders. And then everybody else is, you know, everybody else. Like, there's not a lot that separates 54 from 32 or 30 or 28. So, you know, and the other thing about those guys in the, you know, late first round, second round, third round, those guys, you're not falling for the hype. Like, I think that's what separates, and that's where the core of your football team needs to be built, because you're not all of a sudden, like, Michael Penix was considered kind of a you know, late first round or second round type pick. Then he ran a sub 4.5 40, and all of a sudden he's a guy that you got to draft maybe in the top 15. He rushed for 8 yards last year. 8 yards he rushed for. How in the world does all of a sudden a guy create, or there's more value created in the guy because he ran fast? Like, it's the dumbest thing that I've – the NFL draft is and general managers and people in general in the NFL and people who follow it are stupid. They're just dumb. Like, the 40 time the Michael Penix ran has absolutely zero bearing. It doesn't change anything that you saw on film. It changes absolutely nothing. All it says is he's a great athlete. Guess what? You know, football is hard for athletes. It's really easy for football players. And I'm not saying he's not a football player, but the fact that all of a sudden a guy gets elevated because he plays quarterback and he ran a 4.5 40 is maybe one of the most the stupidest things that I listen to, and you hear it on a consistent basis. Now all of a sudden, mock drafts have him in the top 15. People trading up to get him. I mean, it's absolutely ludicrous to me.
Mark Schlereth on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. And, you know, part of my concern and reasoning of taking a quarterback is not just let's get a backup, but you just never know with Deshaun. And, you know, this injury, this glenoid injury in his shoulder, quarterback throwing arm injuries scare me and turn me into the biggest coward in the world. And yet Deshaun said this week on his Quarterback Unplugged podcast that the situation is good. He's in a good spot, right where they need to be. The, you know, everything's on time with the rehab. You know, you don't follow it the same way we do every day, so I want to get this outsider perspective. Where do we set the expectations for Deshaun coming off this throwing shoulder issue?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm not obviously following, like you said, the Cleveland Browns on a day-to-day basis. But, you know, you couple injury issues with, you know, play issues where he hasn't played all that well. And those things concern me. They will always concern me. And the thing about injuries is, you know, for me as an offensive lineman, I played hurt. I played injured all the time. That's the only thing I know. But I could play well hurt and injured, and I could manage that well. When you have repetitive use injuries, you know, my son was a major league pitcher until he tore his labrum. And then it was a constant battle, and he never got back to the big leagues. Even though he pitched another 8-9 years in the minors, he never got back to the big leagues, because every time he was on a roll and he started throwing really well, you know, it flared back up, and then he'd be back on the IL for 6 weeks. So those are the things that concern me when you have repetitive use injuries to something like a shoulder, you know, and those things, you know, those things tend to linger. And then, you know, you couple that with getting hit and getting sacked and some of the other things that happen that are just going to happen in the course of a football season, that would always be concerning. And, you know, I mean, I know Jameis has carved out a great career for himself, and people who play with Jameis rave about Jameis Winston as just a teammate and everything else. But ultimately, I don't want that guy starting for more than a couple games. I've seen that act. And so that would concern me.
Mark, I want to pivot to the NFL's international play. They started it with, you know, playing a couple of games over in London with Jacksonville and whatnot, and now Germany and all these other. This year, Brazil is the new one. The Browns and Packers are the two teams that are in the running to play the Eagles there to kick off the season. as a former player, you know, the Browns are, they would love to go to Brazil. They have not been shy expressing their excitement as an organization to be included in that game. But let me ask you, as a former player, how much would you enjoy an 8-hour plane ride to Brazil to play a football game?
I would hate every second of it. But, you know, that the part of me is I'm just such a creature of habit. And I want, you know, I want my routine. My routine is important to me. And so that throws off the routine and everything else. And then, you know, I did it. I did it. I went to London and played. I went to Japan and played. I went to Mexico City and played. But they were all preseason games. And I hated every second of those, too. So, you know, I'm fairly miserable. I'm a curmudgeon when it comes to that kind of stuff. But it just throws your routine off. And then it throws you off when you come back and everything else. So it's a couple of weeks that you have to contend with. So I as a player, I would hate it. But, you know, I understand the league and how the league is trying to, you know, to grow itself internationally. And I understand that, you know, has a lot to do with the money that we make and, you know, and everybody benefits. So I get it and I would do it, but I wouldn't like it.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy? Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope. Because
I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mark Schlereth on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So as we've spent a good deal of today talking about the importance of the quarterback position and the importance of, I don't know, having a plan at the quarterback position, last week at the league meetings, Jerry Jones effectively admitted that the Dallas Cowboys, who've already screwed up the contractual situation with Dak Prescott three or four times, are going to let him go into this contract year without an extension. So,
right.
And if I remember correctly, although this one could be wrong, I don't believe they can tag him again because I've tagged him twice when in between his rookie deal and his big contract. Is Dallas doing the right thing, letting Dak go into a contract year without an extension?
I would say no. I also understand not wanting to pay the guy $60 million a year. So, you know, but that is such funny money. You know, there's, you look at the NFL now and how these contracts work, and they're usually a year or two long or whatever they are before you start to renegotiate. So that's always, you know, something that you're looking at. But, I think the issue is everybody's on a 1 year deal over there. So, I mean, when you look at the head coach is on a 1 year deal, the defensive coordinator that you signed is on a 1 year deal. Your quarterback is on a 1 year deal. Where's the stability in that? And then, you know, from the standpoint of, you know, the difference between empowering a head coach and appointing a head coach, like that dude's not empowered. So I always look at that like, well, what are you guys doing? Like if you're a player and things start to go sideways a little bit, you have a little bit of a run. How much does Mike McCarthy really run that show? And the answer is he doesn't. Jerry does. And so from a player's perspective in a locker room, that's a really tough deal for me because, you know, players, I mean, I'm just pointing my finger at myself. We're children. And if I can get away with something or if I feel like this guy doesn't really truly have authority, you know, I respect it to a point, but at some point, if it's not going right for me or I don't like it, you know, I've got a back door to the owner's office. So that's an issue.
Yeah, you know, Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry are headed into the final years of their contract. Browns ownership said last week at the league meetings that they're still working on getting contract extensions for both of them. How surprised are you that those aren't done yet? And your overall thoughts on the job both of them have done to Browns into a stable NFL organization?
Yeah, I think Stefanski's done a great job, and I'm a big fan of what they have done from the standpoint of you know, adhering to the running game and doing things to me, marrying the run game with the play action game, and all that stuff is incredibly important. And, you know, it's not only offensively is it important, but there's the complementary nature of football, what it does for your defense. And so there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that I look at that that I think are important. So I love what Stefanski's. I love what they've done as an organization so far. And I think they have built a really damn good football team. So sometimes those contracts take a little bit of time to get through all the nuance of it, but I believe they'll get that done.
Stink, we heard the beep beep in the background twice. Was that a home alarm, or was that that was unlocking your car?
No, that is me getting in the car and taking my neighbors to the airport.
All right, so we inferred from the beep beep that it's a very nice car. We don't need the mega model, but just maybe who is the manufacturer? Because I think we all had a guess in our head.
Okay, I am currently driving. Now, again, I am a radio, you know, whore like you guys. So this is a free car. This is a dealer car, and it's a BMW.
Ah, we guessed it. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, hey, you must be doing it right if you're getting a free BMW there. Stink, great stuff, man. Enjoy the ride and tell your neighbors we said thanks for letting us borrow you for a few.
You got it. Take care.
Mark Slareth there on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.